season of Lakers basketball. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, you are a big part of the NBA family. It feels like everyone who's ever played in this league, your lives have probably intersected at some point. When is the last time your life intersected with Kobe Bryant?
Well, I guess it was his final year in the league, and I believe that was the 2016-17 season. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Damon.
We're really happy to have you here. It's just such a staggering day. There's not a lot that could prevent us from talking Super Bowl the week of when the Niners are in it, but here we are.
I know, and it's interesting because I was home last night, and I was listening to you guys a lot, 95.7, and even this morning before I left to get to the plane at SFO, it's you forget about the Super Bowl. We've forgotten about the Super Bowl for the last 30-plus hours, I guess. And I certainly never thought of the Super Bowl once last night. I have been thinking about it before, but this has taken, you know, front and attention. And because of the technology we have today and all the information that is immediate, it overwhelms everybody, and so it permeates, you know, obviously in L.A. initially, all up through California here, all across the United States and around the world now, because after a while it gets to be larger than life. And, you know, I have to say I was a 19-year-old sophomore at the University of Oregon on November 22nd, 1963, on my way to speech class when I heard someone yell across the quad that JFK had been shot. And, you know, but to get the information, you know, you go to Walter Cronkite on CBS TV at that time, I guess, but we're in class, so you never do it. And you get a little bit that night, some more, but you don't, it's all sketchy. And you have to read the paper the next day to get information. That's how it was. But today, it just spreads like wildfire. And it's so sobering because I just feel so sorry for his wife, and, you know, not only lose your husband, but you lose your 13-year-old daughter. And it's just tragic. It's just, it's beyond comprehension, beyond words. I liked Kobe. I have to say he was very kind to me, always. I played with his dad here in Philadelphia. Here I am where, you know, he started playing high school basketball at Lower Marion High School, and, you know, they have a gym named after him. I know he was born over in Italy, and his dad was playing over there because he never really made it in the NBA. Joe didn't. So here we are, and I just – The first thing I think about is Kobe. I see his smile. When I think of Kobe Bryant, I see his smile.
As big as you knew he was, how overwhelmed have you been by the response, excuse me, outside basketball? It seemed like he transcended the game he was made famous by.
Yes. Well, it helps that he was in Hollywood. You know, he was in Los Angeles. And so there's stardom down there. So he transcends the sport of basketball. And, of course, he's in the era of basketball was becoming, you know, more entertainment. And so they coincide. And so they're calling him Mr. Laker. And that's a big thing when you talk about West and Baylor and Magic Johnson and even Shaq, who he played with there. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, they're calling him the greatest Laker of all time. At least I've heard that at many sources, and I can't deny it. You play 20 years in the league, you do what he's done, and he was so driven. He was fiercely driven and fiercely competitive. We know that. That's how he was. That's how he played. He tore that Achilles tendon playing against the Warriors. I was right courtside when that happened and saw him walk to the free throw line and then take the free throws, and they fouled somebody so he could walk off the court without any assistance. He was, you know all the stories about him. I have to tell you, the thing that I remember, and I'm not sure anybody's brought it up, but I don't know what year it was, but he was playing against the Warriors at home. They were with the open Coliseum, and it was, 1.5 seconds, 2 seconds, 3 seconds left in the game. And the Warriors were up by 3, I believe. I don't know. And we had fouled a Warrior player or a Laker player. And I don't know who was at the free throw line. I do remember Eric Dampier was on the right side of the free throw line as a big man to block off in case the free throws missed. And Kobe was up top. He was not on the line at all anywhere. He was up above the where you're supposed to be. And the first free throw was made. And so now they're down by two. And I think there were less than 2 seconds left. I think it was like a second and a half. And Kobe got a running start. I don't know whether the free throw was missed on purpose or not. I would assume it was. But Eric Dampier, and now I'm going to get back to my anal tendencies about fundamentals. Eric Dampier on the right-hand side should slip in and take a step with his left foot to block off the man at the center who's right behind him at the line there, who's on line up the line with another big guy. But instead, he stood straight-legged, so you're off balance. He didn't bend his knees, and he stepped in with his right foot, which puts you in a very vulnerable position. And he got pushed under the basket, and Kobe got a running start and ran around the right side and took that gap and tipped in the missed free throw to tie the game, and it went to overtime, and the Lakers won the game in overtime. That's, I've seen him shoot many, jump shots and all these kinds of things, but I just remember I was thinking of that yesterday. That's the play that I remember that he made against the Warriors to put the game into overtime when it seemed impossible for them to even begin to get it in overtime and win the game. It took a series of events and fundamental, chaos to this in order for this to happen. But that's Kobe, and he would make plays like that, and because he never gave up.
Fundamental chaos used to define the Golden State Warriors. Jim Barnett here on 95.7 The Game. Against 67 regular season games against the Warriors is what Kobe played. He had a 51-16 overall record, and at one point won 27 out of 30 between the years of 2006 and 2013. He averaged 27 points per game on 46% shooting. And one of the all-time classics, maybe the only time where the Warriors came out on top, Jim, is when Antoine Jameson and Kobe dueled to 51 each, and the Warriors went in double OT. How much do you remember that?
I remember that. It was really fun. I remember that because, and if I'm not mistaken, and I haven't looked all these up today because there's just so much. Antoine Jameson, I'm thinking, was it up in Seattle? Didn't he score 51 points? Did he score 51 points twice?
Back-to-back nights.
That's what I thought. And so, yes, that was a duel, and it was a, I love that when an NBA game goes beyond 5-on-5 and it comes down to 1-on-1. And I've seen those games before. I've seen it with Tim Hardaway battling different people, or Chris Mullin, down in L.A. I remember when he got his 41 and playing against the Lakers and Magic and everyone. And that's what you see. And all you're doing is you're watching the team, but you're watching those individuals. And one would get a hoop, and then the other would answer. And then the other would get a – and it goes back and forth. And so there's a game within the game, and those are really fun. They're really, really fun. And of course, that's always been – you'll get games like that throughout the history of the NBA. I don't remember shots necessarily. Damon, I don't remember – I'm not going to say anything about games I play, but I don't remember any shots at all. But I do remember that they both got 51, and I knew that it was back to back with Antoine Jameson.
So, Jim, I don't know if you've had a chance to think about this at all. I'm not sure anyone really has, but I've seen a lot of ideas about potentially ways to honor Kobe Bryant. What do you think the right way for the NBA to approach that would be?
Matt, I really haven't given it that deep a thought. I've been very upset. My daughter, who had met Kobe before, I met Kobe. I'm going to lead into that. I met Kobe. I'm not sure if it ever would have happened, but he came over to me. We were in Hawaii. We used to play exhibition games against the Lakers over there, a couple of games. And I don't know what year it was, but he'd been in the league maybe 3 years, maybe four, I don't know. And I had never talked to him, as I don't like to bother a lot of people, and I hadn't had cause to. And so, at any rate, he came, and we were back behind everything. There was no one around. And he came walking down my way, and And lo and behold, he came up to me, introduced himself, and he watches basketball, and he basically, here's what he said. I remember exactly what he said. He said, "You talk ball. You talk basketball." And I thought that was a great compliment. He liked my commentary. And so from then on, we were kind of, you know, and I told him I played with his dad here in Philadelphia my last year in the league for a short period of time. I got picked up by the Sixers. And so we had any big bond. I'm not going to be one of that. I wasn't. But he would give us interviews. As he got greater on in his career, he would only do national, as you know, Michael Jordan and people like that will do. They can't afford to do all the interviews for the local television, but he would do that for us. And so we would always come down to L.A., and we would get, you know, it was always at the sports arena there. We would get Kobe for an interview, and he accommodated. He was always kind. He was always courteous to me. And, you know, he knew that I'd played, and I would give him his space, of course, because I know what it's like. But it's not easy to talk to the media all the time like he does and did and had to do. So I don't know how they're going to honor, but I have to say I was delighted to see all those teams yesterday take it gets to me a little bit to see that those 24-second violations and then the 8-second violation in the backcourt. I thought that was great. I thought that was a great way to honor those players and how they thought of that. And, you know, I don't know whether it initiated initially from Greg Popovich, but I thought it was great. I don't know, you know, what they can do. Can they change the logo from the silhouette of Jerry West to Kobe Bryant? I that may be a little too much. But I do know that because of everything and how this has expanded, it's not going to die down soon. And they're, you know, obviously the next game between the Clippers and the Lakers has been canceled.
Postponed. Yeah.
And so I don't know what's in line, Matt. I don't know what's appropriate. But he is an icon. And the thing, first of all, the personal tragedy. And I know what it's like to lose a child because we lost our son when he was a year old. And there's nothing you can say to people about that makes up for anything. But for her, Vanessa, to lose her husband and a child to go along with it is just tragic. It's hard to grip. It's hard to put, even today, it's hard to put, wrap your mind and your emotions around it. So it's, you know, premature for me to even speculate on how the hell they're going to honor him some way in the NBA. But I'm sure there will be something because I guess, you know, now he's become larger than life. But he was yet through with things. That's what he'd become, you know, now he'd become softer. He had become, and I've read so many articles, all the ones from the LA Times and Bill Plaschke and all the great things, you know, that you can read that they're very inspiring. But he was inspiring, and he was inspiring that he wasn't sitting around. You know, he could do anything he wanted to do. He could, you know, but he'd already gotten an Oscar and with the animation movie, and he was going to do all kinds of things because he was driven, and he was having fun doing it. Of course, he was mostly enjoying his family and the girls, and they're going to have to grow up without their father.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us and opening up the veins and sharing an awful lot with us, man. We really, really do appreciate it. We're lucky to be able to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Damon, thank you for having me on. And Ray, you and Matt, and take care, and I'll see you later on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Barnett here on 95.7 The Game. And I'll tell you, OG could...